Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We have got a special request podcast. I was asked to review our episode of Raw from May 17th, 1993 by a young man named Nick Apolowski. I hope I got your name right there, Nick. I decided it was a good idea if somebody asked you to do something and it's not going to hurt you any. I was quarantined for the week. Why not watch Raw? An older episode of it. And so it worked out. And great. And if anybody else would like to hit us up on the Twitter machine and ask for a review of anything, be it music, movie, wrestling episode, feel free. And we'll try to do what we can for you. And try to learn a little something, because all these things are pretty doggone neat to get into, which is what I found here. When he requested this one, he requested May 17th, 1993. Now, what's important about that one, we wonder? Well, that's the 1-2-3 Kid episode. That's the famous, probably one of the biggest upsets in pro wrestling history, when Sean Waltman, as the Kid, and he had gone through several different little nicknames, hits the moonsault on Razor Ramon after Razor leaps and hits his own head on the back turnbuckle of the corner, and we get the 1-2-3 pin, and all of a sudden we built a star. So that's the drawing point for it. When you see that highlight, when you go to the WWE Network, pull it up, it's like, oh wow. But let's dive on into this a little bit. This episode is full of stars. You have all-time greats in this thing, and it's funny to watch it in hindsight and see where wrestling winds up going after this. Vince McMahon is on commentary, and if you're too young to remember Vince as the uber babyface ring announcer, he was really good in this role, and the evil Vince McMahon persona has overtaken that. But man, when you go back and see these and you hear him gush it up, it's just amazing. And Macho Man Randy Savage is also on commentary, along with Bobby the Brain Heenan. Now, you know, Savage is one of the top all-time performers. He's a fantastic wrestling commentator. But this is a funny thing here, because Savage is behind the scenes. Savage is wanting to get back into the ring, and Vince doesn't want that for whatever reason. And so at some point, Savage lets his contract run out. Vince thinks he's off to Hollywood. But what Savage winds up doing is he winds up eventually going down south to WCW along with Hogan, who's not featured on this episode, which is strange. Bret Hart's not featured on this episode, which is strange. And yet we still have a very strong episode. But it's funny with Savage. One thing that's funny about the contract is everybody blames all these huge contracts, and Bischoff has said repeatedly that when Savage went down south, he took his Slim Jim's contract with him, and then he kind of used his connections to help Bischoff get Slim Jim on board, which, if you remember the Slim Jim Halloween Havoc, for example, and they started running those commercials on Nitro all the time. And so Bischoff's claim is that Savage's contacts with Slim Jim actually paid for his other contract and allowed him to bring his brother on board as well. I believe the story goes that he said, you know, I want you to give my brother a job too. And he was like, well, I don't have anything for him. He said, well, just take the money out of my contract. Supposedly, Lanny Popoff got a job and was paid out of Savage's contract. But according to Bischoff, just having Savage allowed you to have the Slim Jim deal, which allowed you to make more money than you were paying Savage to begin with, which is an interesting little backstory to all those things. Now, of course, Bobby Heenan is one of the great all-time managers and just such a good comedic heel. It's amazing how good he is. And Savage is in the babyface role too, or he's taken up for the good guys. They start out the episode. You have Randy Savage and the Smoking Guns, Billy and Bart Gunn, at a Special Olympics competition, and Savage is talking about how much he loves the Kid who wins the I think it's a Clean and Jerk, or I think it was a Clean. It may not have been a Clean and Jerk, but anyway, he talks about how he loves the kid, and it's a neat little public relations, and it's always wonderful when you have these athletes go to the Special Olympics, and to see Savage dressed to the nines in his whole gear. Like nowadays, if you go to something like that, if a pro wrestler were to go to something like that, he would wear sweats, or depending on the building it's in, maybe a suit, but he wouldn't go in neon green in a cowboy hat and tassels. But Randy Savage was always Randy Savage, no matter where he was. He was the Macho Man. And so then we cut to a Lord Alfred Hayes interview segment outside, and they go, earlier today, this happened. And Lord Alfred Hayes was supposed to be interviewing Sean outside the building, and Mr. Perfect jumps him. I guess Sean had beaten Mr. Perfect earlier, and Mr. Perfect is jumping him in the parking lot. They fight out into the street right in front of the Manhattan Center. The Manhattan Center is where this whole event is taking place. And if you're an old school wrestling fan, you remember the Raws being aired from there, and you remember how it was just, it had that, I wouldn't say it had the ECW feel, but, or the Asylum feel, which was a TNA, it was called the Asylum, where they would film it every week, same, but it is kind of, or NXT down in Orlando has the same, just rabid fan base feel. It wasn't quite to that level, but when you have the same basic group of fans every week, there is something to that. I love studio wrestling. I like the idea of having a set group of really good fans there rocking it. So the Smoking Guns come out, and you have Billy Gunn and Bart Gunn. And Billy's going to wind up being in DX, and they're fighting a couple of jobbers, and they wind up going over pretty easily. Bart is an odd person in wrestling history. Go back, and if you want to, go to Vice Television, and pull up the Dark Side of the Ring episode about Vince Russo. Vince Russo decided to make a tough man contest for pro wrestlers. He said, let's let them really fight. And the story goes, according to Russo, that he had heard John Bradshaw Layfield tell everybody he could beat him up. And so he decided to create this competition to humiliate Layfield, which winds up happening eventually. The JR had brought in Dr. Death Steve Williams, and he was going to be their big guy. And he winds up getting knocked out as well. So you wind up having Dr. Death Steve Williams get knocked out. They'd spent money on this guy being a big deal in WWE, and it was over because of a real live aired fight with boxing gloves on. And Gunn just knocks him cold. He knocks out the Godfather. He knocks out John Layfield. And it's just, that was not what they wanted. They did not want somebody that they didn't have the machine behind to get the win here. But that is exactly what happened. So anyway, I found that was funny. Billy is already very personable. You can tell he's going to be a star. He doesn't have the physique he would eventually have. The gimmick is, the whole show's gimmicks are, it's still cartoon land in WWE. And you still, the cowboys are literally cowboys. The Indian is actually an Indian. Kamala is a Ugandan giant, and he wears a loincloth. So viewing it through the eyes of modern times, it can be somewhat problematic because it is a little bit, not too long after this episode happens, there will be a Doink clown, and he's really a clown, and he's going to get into it with Savage. And so, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. But anyway, let's move on. We get this little commercial for the Saturday morning, we're going to explain to you in kiddie terms what pro wrestling is show. And then we get the Intercontinental Champ with an in-ring promo with the man he calls the Vin Man, which he will go on to call the Vin Man for years to come. He does an in-ring promo with Vince. He says he can take on anybody, and he is a man of his word, and he rattles off all of his accomplishments since he's won the Intercontinental Belt. And a hooded man approaches the ring This man is Marty Jannetty. Yes, that Marty Jannetty, the ex-tag team partner. And I'll tell you something. Boy, was I happy when I saw that this was actually a part of this episode. I didn't see it coming. Once I saw the guy in the hood, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be fun. Because I don't know that everybody thought Sean was going to be Sean when they broke up. And so this had to have been epic when he pulls off his hoodie and the crowd sees, oh, it's Marty Jannetty. You didn't see a whole lot of this yet at that point. And then it's like, you know, he shot his mouth off and said he'd fight anybody. And Sean winds up trying to back out of it because, you know, Marty's not in fighting clothes. Well, Marty said, if you'll fight me if I had my gear. Well, I got my gear. Just give me a second. And so we've lined up an Intercontinental Championship match for later in the show between Sean and his former tag team champions. One of the great, I mean, the blueprint for turning heel was, you know, you had this great tag team, Jannetty and Michaels, and they're at the barber shop with Brutus the Barber. Again, cartoon character, right? Brutus the Barber Beefcake actually does his show from a barber shop, right? And and so, but yeah, Sean drops him with a super kick, slams his head through the window of the barbershop, and Sean's off and running. And Marty, they probably thought Marty was going to be off and running too. And it's an interesting, again, this show is such an interesting little moment in time. Now, the shocking Razor Ramon match pops up. It's a good little match. It's very quick. Razor kind of clowns on how well he's beaten up on Sean Waltman, the kid, and then the kid, of course, hits his own head, and then, of course, Sean hits the flip to pin him, 1, 2, 3, and this is kind of what wrestling should be all about. This moment in time makes Sean Waltman a star, and Razor's willing to do that because it didn't hurt him. Razor was the hottest heel, probably one of the hottest heels in the company. And it almost made him, because he turns around and he like offers up $10,000 to get another shot at Waltman. And if Waltman can beat him, he can keep it, you know. So this almost makes him better as a heel by losing to this nobody. And yet with Sean, I mean, with Waltman, he winds up going through. He's the 1, 2, 3 kid. And then he winds up being, you know, I hope I get these in order. And then he winds up being Six-Pac, X-Pac, he winds up being Six-Pac, he winds up being X-Pac again, then he winds up being Six, and it's, you know, as he goes from NWO to this kid that was nobody, winds up being one of the big, when Hunter is forced to take over for Shawn Michaels, when Shawn Michaels retires, And DX is suddenly put in his hands. One of the things he utilized to swing the pendulum power in his direction is bringing this kid that Razor Ramon makes right here in this 30 seconds. And that's what wrestling's all about. You know, making stars, utilizing your star power to bring somebody up to you so that we have more people in the company to help us earn money. And it was a wonderful little moment. And it's a moment they try to recreate in all over, and every wrestling company does, and they fail at it. It's hard to just pull a guy from nowhere and make him something. And this was real, because it's one thing nowadays, usually a guy hits a company and he's been on, a guy hits an AEW, a New Japan, a WWE, he's been on the indie circuit, you've heard of him, he's got a big name, so he's not nobody, right? And even still, he's probably not 5'8", 5'9", 160 pounds, fighting Razor Ramon, who's everything. I mean, he's huge, he's strong, he's a great worker. What a moment, what a moment. Up next would be Scott Taylor, the Scott Taylor. I'm just kidding, I don't know Scott Taylor. Versus Tatanka, the Native American. It was a bit of a squash match, hence me not knowing Scott Taylor, which I apologize to Scott if you're listening. And I did enjoy it. 1993 King of the Ring report with the amazing Mean Gene Okerlund, another Hall of Famer. And he's telling us about this King of the Ring tournament, and he's getting you the matchups. Listen to these guys. Papa Shango, who winds up being the Godfather, who was also winds up being in The Nation of Domination, is facing Owen Hart, who y'all know who Owen Hart is. Another episode I highly recommend of Dark Side of the Ring from Vice. One of the great in-ring performers, way ahead of his time. Bret Hart. I mean, he's, you know, if you want to list top performers ever, he's there, however long you want to make that list. Razor Ramon, Scott Hall winds up completely changing the business when he and Kevin Nash go south and get guaranteed contracts, which had never been done before. They changed the way the business was altogether. They weren't cartoon characters, Scott. They weren't anymore. They were guaranteed the amount of money they were going to make, which had not happened before that. It changed the game entirely. Mr. Perfect, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, versus Mr. Hughes. We have Bam Bam Bigelow, if you've never seen Bam Bam work, pull up some of his ECW footage and watch him go. He is an amazing worker. And, guys, he got a good match out of Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor's a heck of an athlete. Come on, man. He got a good match out of Lawrence Taylor. That dude had never wrestled. All Lawrence Taylor did was go out there and do football moves. And Bam Bam sold like a dude. Amazing what he did. People kind of want to poo-poo that match. And I agree. Go ahead. Poo-poo it. You know, Shawn Michaels wasn't the main event of a WrestleMania. I get it. Let me say this. Bam Bam got put in a bad spot, and he did great in it. Now, he's wrestling Jim Duggan. We all know who Hacksaw Jim Duggan is. Lex Luger. Everybody knows who Lex Luger is. Versus Tatanka. Again, you know who he is. Yokozuna winds up with Hulk Hogan. I believe that's going to be your championship match. Along that, the King of the Ring final wound up being Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect. That was actually the semifinal match. I apologize. Then you wind up with Yokozuna versus Hogan. Again, Yokozuna, everybody knows who that is. Hogan, everybody knows who that is. Jimmy Hart's the announcer. Smoking Guns, Bart and Billy versus the Steiner Brothers. You know who they are. Versus the Head Shrinkers. You may not think you know who the Head Shrinkers are. You know who Fatu is. That's Rikishi, guys. You know, and his, you know, you definitely know his sons are. They're the Usos. And so, again, wow, Money Inc., Erwin R. Scheister is Bray Wyatt's dad. Mike Rotunda. And then you wind up also, you got Ted DiBiase's his tag team partner. This is, I mean, Afa is the guy walking out. Afa and Sika. Everybody knows, you know, come on, man. Shawn Michaels in an intercontinental match with Diesel as a sidekick. Diesel being Kevin Nash, fresh off his appearance as Oz. If you don't know what Oz is, Google Kevin Nash Oz and watch and learn why Kevin Nash snuck out of the South to get to the North to wrestle as, not even to wrestle, to be Shawn Michaels' bodyguard. Because, wow, what a gimmick. Okay, and Shawn Michaels defeats Crush. You know who Crush is. Crush was Bryan Adams. He was in the Disciples of the Apocalypse. He was in NWO. But most famously, when the WCW really needed to bring in a new wrestler, they really needed new wrestling talent, they dressed Bryan Adams up as Gene Simmons, and he became the Demon. Which, what a moment. Okay, and so then you wind up, Shawn wins that, and then Bret Hart defeats Bam Bam Bigelow to be the King of the Ring. And when I watched this, I was like, man, I got to go back and watch that King of the Ring. And I think I will. I think I'm going to wind up kind of, a couple of years ago, I went through, maybe 2 years ago, I just, every night, I had trouble sleeping. So every night before I went to sleep, I'm a geek like that, I would just put on Nitro and until I fell asleep. And I went through the entire, all of Nitro. And it was funny how you don't remember things correctly in history, and then, you know, you wake up, you watch it, you wake up, and you just start over whatever you remember you fell asleep on. I made it through the whole thing. I could wind up, because of this right here, I could wind up doing it all over again with the Raws. Then we have another very dated commercial, Ico Pro, featuring the Native American Tatanka. Macho Man commercial. He's snapping into a Slim Jim. Snap into a Slim Jim. I did that terribly. I apologize. I did that very terribly. Okay. So, okay. Now, then we get Kamala, the Ugandan Giant, versus Yokozuna. And this was a short big man match. It was okay. I've seen Kamala work a little better than this. He very limited skill set, but the character they have him playing, it really wouldn't have made much sense if he did too much more than what he was doing. Again, I don't. We'll just move past that. But Yokozuna was a fantastic wrestler, but you didn't get to see it right here in this little thing. I actually watched a clip of Corey Graves had Taker on, The Undertaker, and like I need to say what Taker it is to a person listening to a wrestling podcast. I apologize. Taker is telling a story in the middle of that. You can just pull that section up on YouTube, and it's him talking about working with Yokozuna, and I want to say Taker kind of teared up a little bit when he talked about Yokozuna. But he did eventually come around and get to tell a couple of stories, and it was good stuff, man. What an imposing figure for his size, and to be able to kick people in the head. And I'll tell you a story about Yokozuna to talk about the level of athleticism. Lex Luger winds up in a program just after this, and he tells the story of, this is the way Lex tells it. He's, you know, Yokozuna's got this briefcase full of money or however much money, and if anybody can body slam me, they can have all the money. And so Vince does this huge campaign where the Lex Express, he's trying to turn Lex into Hulk Hogan. That's the whole purpose of what we're doing here. He's going to make him an American hero. He's going to put him on the Express, and he's going to body slam Yoko on a military ship, on a battleship, and this is going to make headlines all over the world. Well, it's all well and good, but when he practices slamming Yoko, he's wearing tennis shoes and Zupas and Zupas, whatever those pants are, the baggy pants that are really crazy looking, like they're like leopard prints or whatever, Zupas, okay. And Lex gets there, though, for this. He's wearing cowboy boots, jeans, tank top, and he walks to Yoko, and he realizes he can't plant his feet. He shouldn't have worn the boots. And he tries to tell Bobby the Brain Heenan that. And Brain's like, bro, that ship sailed. You're going to have to do it or fail, one, because this is live and there's no going back now. And he goes to Yoko. He says, man, I'm on skates out here. I can't do it. And Yoko said, just put your hands on me, brother. And according to Lex, Yoko body slammed himself. He said, I couldn't have done it. He, at 400 and something pounds, was able to flip himself. Amazing performer. HBK versus Marty Jannetty is your main event of the evening. Starts out hot. Marty roughing up HBK. HBK tries to flee with his belt, but Mr. Perfect, who had punched Sean several times in the parking lot or in the street, in the Manhattan streets, comes out and forces Sean to get back into the ring. And you have two, now understand, these two kids, the only reason why they're wrestlers is because at this point in time, we didn't know Sean was going to be Sean. Nobody knew he was going to be the Michael Jordan of pro wrestling. Marty, at this point in time, is pretty much the same thing as Sean once you ring the bell. You know, a lot of what Sean would become as a storyteller is to come, but these are two of the great workers at that point in time and athletic workers at that point in time at the peak of their physical powers. They would later, you know, Sean would later become very mentally different than most other wrestlers in that he looked at it as art and figured out a way to paint these great pictures. And I can talk all day about Shawn Michaels being a great wrestler, but this was a cool thing to watch because they're guys that came up and it felt like they're trying to put each other over by the way they're working with one another. And yet you can also feel a little bit of the I'm better than you, because behind the scenes there had to be a reason why they broke up, right? And so there is a little bit of that. And the crowd, you can tell the crowd is feeling the animosity whether it's real or not, or perceived. And so it's really going good. And then, of course, when Sean gets things going his way, he hits a super kick, and he's going to go for the elbow. That's when Perfect distracts him, throws a towel. You know, Perfect always had a towel with him. Throws the towel at Sean. Sean winds up ducking it, and Jannetty winds up getting him in a roll-up and winning the IC title. Now, obviously, he'll lose it by the time King of the Ring rolls around. But, man, I mean, nice, quick show. It wasn't the 3 hours we get now. It was just well done. And, again, it is problematic the way some of the things are viewed through a modern eye. And I get that. If it bothers you, I get it and I understand. And but to see these guys work and to know, like, when you look at, if you look at art, be it music, be it television, be it movies, a lot of it's going to be somewhat problematic when you view it through a modern lens. But you had to get here from somewhere. And this is such a neat light. This episode that was requested is such a neat jumping off point for all of pro wrestling. You know, at this point, Raw is a new show in prime time. Nitro's not anything yet. The wars haven't started. We haven't taken, you know, if you're going to be a pro wrestler or a repo man, or it's just Vince McMahon isn't evil yet. Sean's not Sean yet. It's a crazy jumping off. There's no DX yet. There's no NWO yet. There's no Hollywood Hogan yet. There's no Eric Bischoff is just on TV as a ring. It's crazy how great a spot to start and study the Monday Night Wars is here, because it's pre-Monday Night Wars, but you can see why at this point in time you have the clique, which is Sean and Nash and Hall and Kidd, and they're trying to explain to Vince that, you know, we don't need to be cartoon characters anymore, and he's not having it. And then when Kevin and them leave and do it on their own, and then Vince takes their idea and kind of some degree makes it better. The WWE is not functioning as a heel company, which to a lot of you as wrestling fans, it is now, which I don't begrudge you that either. You can, you know, everybody choose what you want to choose, but I had a great time. Nick Opalewski, and I appreciate you suggesting this episode. If somebody else wants to suggest an episode on their Twitter machine or on the Facebook page, please do. Or, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. This has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020 from me, KP. Go on home.